This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Final hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on an Ask Dr. Jesse Friday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Also, remember...
And you support it.
You know, freedom is not free.
I know it's a rhetorical question, but how can we get the Republicans to defund the three-letter agencies and put them out of their misery? Primaries, man. I know that's a horrible answer. It's not an answer you want to give because it's going to take so long. It's such a difficult answer. We have to start showing up and voting out incumbents in primaries, and we don't do it. I rant about it all the time. The Republican primary voter is so responsible for the state of the Republican Party in this country. This next election cycle, there will be some huge rhino piece of trash, some senator running for office in a red state. A rhino senator is going to run for re-election in a red state. And that rhino senator is going to be challenged by a hardcore person on the right. Somebody your speed, somebody my speed. But the senator is going to raise $50, $60, $70 million for his re-election bid. They go a lot higher than that, I should note, but I'm just throwing that number out there. The senator is going to raise $60, $70 million, and the senator, the rhino, who screwed you over and screwed me over 1,000 times on every vote that counts, he's going to run TV ad after TV ad, making himself sound like a hardcore anti-communist. Elect me, and we'll finally build the wall and secure the border. It's time to stop the out-of-control Marxists that are burning down our school system. He'll sound just like me. He'll sound just like you. And the Republican primary voter will see these ads and go, wow, look at this guy. Man, he sounds like exactly the fighter we need. I'm going to go vote for John Cornyn again. Go, Cornyn, fight the communists. The guy, the hardcore guy who's challenging him in a primary, he's going to raise $5, $10 million. You won't see a fraction of his ads as you do with the rhino, but the hardcore guy, he has a website you can find and visit for free. You can browse his positions on the issues. He'll be crisscrossing the state. He'll be crisscrossing the state doing town hall events, meeting and greeting voters, so you can even go out and put a hand in his and take the measure of the man. He's available. He's available in this age of information for you to interact with and hear from. He's available for all GOP primary voters to interact with and hear from. Are we going to care enough about the country to proactively seek out Republican alternatives to the loser Republicans we have elected? If we care enough to do that, then we can do things like defund the three-letter agencies. If we don't care enough to do that, if we always do what we've always done, which is only half of us vote in the primary and most of those people vote for the incumbent, then no, you will never, ever, 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 ever defund a single three-letter agency. Because you're going to keep sending John Cornyn back to the Senate and all these. Look, there's plenty of names I could be listing here. He's just the one I hate the most because I'm in Texas. But I could be listing plenty of names right now. John Thune, Lindsey Graham. Oh, there's so many of them. The Romney types. We'll keep sending them back and then throwing our hands up when they screw us over again and again and again. Why do they do this? They do this because when primaries come around, we can't be bothered. We can't be bothered. Jesse, I've got to know, during your trip, did you have the integrity to not tell Seth what your midlife crisis car was? I told Seth from St. Louis, did come along on the trip to Israel, and I did tell him and anyone else who asked what the midlife crisis car was. I told everyone on the air, if you come, I'll tell you. I'm a man of my word. Doesn't matter. I don't know why everyone's still so curious about this thing. I'm getting ready to dump it anyway. I'm getting a pickup truck again. Dear Menu Whisperer, I have an important food-related question. Who wins in a fight, the Burger King or Ronald McDonald? Oh, Ronald McDonald. He's a clown. He's probably a serial killer. Probably has a knife or something. Shogun Oracle, two questions. Do you believe in karma? And he says, number two, I know you're not a fan of left-handed people, but how do you feel about those of us that are ambidextrous? I love the show. Do I believe in karma? No. No, I really don't. Also, ambidextrous people, you're just left-handed people trying to disguise it. Don't try to fool me. Dear World Traveler, I love listening to your tangents about historical wars and notable leaders. What's a good podcast to listen to about the Mongolian army, Genghis Khan? Dan Carlin did a good 5-part mini-series podcast on Genghis Khan. I think it was called The Wrath of the Khans. I think you have to pay for it, if I remember right. I've listened to it long ago. If you really want something better than that, though, I don't know if you're a reader, go buy. I've got a book recommendation for you. And okay, I've decided that I've got a new policy that's going to be obnoxious when it comes to book recommendations. And this is what the new policy is. When I read the name of a book, when I recommend a book, I'm going to read the name like 5 times. Why? Because I feel like I'm pretty clear. Am I clear, Chris, about things? Clear and very witty, Chris. Anyway, am I clear about things? Of course I am. But it doesn't matter how clear I am on the name of the book I recommend for something. We will inevitably show up the next day to 5 emails saying, what was the name of that book? One, I need to remind you, every show is podcasted for free. iHeart, Google, Spotify, and iTunes. So if I, let's say, make a book recommendation and you miss it, you can go download it. But I'm going to say a book recommendation now. For those of you interested in the Mongols, I'm going to make a book recommendation for anyone interested in the Mongols. I'm going to make a book recommendation for anyone interested in the Mongols. Are you ready? Are you ready? The book is called Subadai the Valiant. Subadai is spelled weird, S-U-B-O-T, something like that. You'll know what I mean. Subadai the Valiant. Subadai was Genghis Khan's one of his main generals. He had a bunch of generals, but Subadai was his big cheese. That was his major guy, one of the real brilliant military minds behind Genghis Khan. And the book, Subadai the Valiant. Subadai the Valiant is the name of the book. Anyway, it's a real short read. It'll give you more spicy little details on the Mongols and how they fought and formations than you can possibly imagine. So if you'd like a book on the Mongols, go get Subadai the Valiant. That's the name of the book. Sorry, I don't mean to be rude. It's sorry. Imagine you were gifted a Powerball ticket. It was the winner, and now you have hundreds of millions of dollars, so you decided to put on a concert with 3 bands. What's the venue? What are the bands? Okay, the venue is a no-brainer, and I know this because I read a news article yesterday. I didn't know this was a thing, but I saw some guy, some singer, Travis Scott. Should I know who that is? Should I know who Travis Scott is? Is he a rapper, Michael? He's a rapper? Okay, there's a rapper. See? I'm hip. I know what's going on out there. Travis Scott had a concert. It was canceled or something like that, but it was scheduled at the pyramids in Egypt. Apparently, you can do a concert at the pyramids? I did not know this was a thing, but I would do a concert scheduled at the pyramids. I would, of course, be featured as one of the headliners out there, and my picture, my picture would be everywhere you walked in. You wouldn't even be able to hardly tell what bands would be there because it would just be pictures of me. We'd even have souvenir beer cups with a picture of me on it. It would be a lot of me. T-shirts with my face on it. And then the bands, do they have to be alive? Because I don't really listen to a lot of old music. They have to be alive, Chris? Is Tom Petty dead? Tom Petty's dead? Is Bob Seger dead? I think it'd be Bob Seger. Creedence Clearwater Revival. What? They're alive? Fogarty's alive, I think. Yeah, Fogarty's alive. So Bob Seger, CCR, and I know one of the Beach Boys guys drowned, so that's not good. But any one of the Beach Boys who were left, we'd bring them all in for a super concert. Granted, that also kind of sounds like the whitest concert ever, but whatever. All right. What if the Democrats win in 2024? Someone wants to talk about that. Artificial grass, the FBI and the pipe bomber, and so much more is still to come. Now, we all have a task for the weekend. Homework, if you will. But fun homework. It's Mantis X homework. 10 minutes with your weapon this weekend. Maybe you wake up Saturday morning, knock out your homework first thing before everyone gets up. You're just practicing with your weapon right there in your living room, dry fryer practicing, getting feedback, getting put through drills. Maybe you wait till Saturday evening. Maybe the whole family's together and you decide to have a family competition with your Mantis X. Hey, let's get fast and deadly tonight, family. Either way, 10 minutes, huh? I'll give it to you, you give it to me. 10 minutes. We have to be faster, deadlier, all the time. Shooting skills are perishable skills. The Green Berets use Mantis X for a reason. The Marines use Mantis X for a reason. MantisX.com, all right? MantisX.com. Go get one and practice. All right. What if the Dems win in 2024? In artificial grass. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
I mean, I'm not an expert in climate change, so I can't speak to it. What it's going to look like. But we know climate change exists, right? We know that there is a real problem here.
Look, I'm not an expert. We just know it's here. All right, Jesse, if the communist Dems sweep the 2024 election, I think we're done. I don't agree. And I think there's a decent chance they sweep the 2024 election. Do we have our ballot harvesting operation up and running? Are we ready to do the blocking and tackling? The unsexy things like they are? I don't know that we are. But I don't know that we're done. I don't want to say I've written off the federal government, but I've written off the federal government. Our freedom will not be won back from Washington, D.C. Federally, as a country, 50 states held together, we probably are done. We're at the beginning of the end for the federal system we've always known. I don't think it's realistic to sit here and be pie in the sky about it and say that you can patch this thing back together again for a million different reasons. We have such a mixed bag of values now in this country. Without shared values, how do you pull it back together again? I would argue that's impossible because the shared values are what you need to pull it back together again. You know, what's a good example of this? Getting married. Let's do this. Getting married. Obviously, they say opposites attract. You've heard that a lot. Opposites attract. And I know that can be somewhat true. The wife is very, very opposite of me, but not totally opposite of me. There are certain values she shares with me, certain things she shares, and not even just values, just certain basic things. Are we opposite personality-wise and things like that? Oh, yeah, of course, but she likes to laugh. I like to joke. That's something that can bring us together. She likes an adventure. All the crazy things I've done, huge risks I've taken, it's not like she was hemming and hawing. She's cheering me on. Yeah, go get him. That's a thing that binds us together. As a nation, to be a nation, to remain a nation, you have to have shared values of some kind. There has to be something you share with the other side. There has to be. There are too many different pieces of this country now that don't have any shared values with each other. So thinking we can pull it back together again is naive because there's nothing to pull it back together. You want to come back together, you have to come back towards something, towards anything at all. Well, there's nothing. But that said, we're thinking about this the wrong way. And I know you're being a patriot when you talk about wanting to save the country and bring the country back together. I know that. I'm not doubting your patriotism, but we have to think about it a different way. Instead of trying to save the country, let's try to save what we can. Have you ever done any reading on a ship when it goes down? A naval vessel, a naval ship. I'm reading a great book right now. What's it called? Oh, no, another book thing. Okay, Last Stand of the Tin Can Soldiers. Again, the book, it is a book, a World War II Navy book, Last Stand of the Tin Can Soldiers. One more time, so you don't have to email. The book is Last Stand of the Tin Can Soldiers. Anyway, if you ever read a book about a naval vessel that's been hit and it's in combat and it's going down or it's been wounded, or maybe you've even done things like read about the Titanic, but let's focus on the naval vessels. What you'll find is when you're wounded as a ship, and maybe you're listing, you're leaning off to one side or you're going down, it will get to a point where they have to make decisions, very hard decisions. Decisions like, hey, we need to dog this down. We need to close the hatches and seal the hatches. This compartment, the one with people still in it, it's flooding. It's flooded. And we have to slam the door shut and seal the door shut in order to save the entire ship. For the good of the rest of the ship that is still salvageable, we have to let this part of the ship go. Even, and it's so sad, some of these stories, oh my gosh, they're heartbreaking, but even the brave sailors that are in that section, maybe they're trapped, maybe they're still fighting. We have to do the hardest thing in the world, and we have to shut that door and let them go and send them to their death, to drown in the darkness. In order to save everyone, there are parts of the ship you have to let go. When it comes to America right now, because we are so fractured, because there are parts that are drowning and parts that are not. It's not drowning in my area, but my area is fantastic. If I could preserve my area just this way, I would. But there are parts that are drowning. In order to preserve my area for my sons and their sons after them and their sons after them, we have to stop focusing on saving every single compartment of the ship and let some of them go. It's why I encourage you to move so often. That's why I'm always out there telling you, move, so we can batten down the hatches, so we can dog it down and let it go. All right? All right. Hang on.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
The best way to understand all sides of an issue is to know all sides of an issue.
Can't get that in the mainstream media, which is why you've got to listen to some Clay and Buck for another point of view.
Buck, why are you going third person?
Because, Clay, I think this ad is running in places that might not exactly align with all of our politics or even know who we are.
It's impossible. But maybe if it's true, I bet if they did listen, they'd end up agreeing with us on at least one issue, even if they secretly won't admit it.
Well, the only way they're going to find out is if they download the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app or wherever they get their pods.
We're easy to find, unlike your wife at Costco.
Clay, you speak the truth, but we're already losing people.
I think I gained one or two just now.
In case you haven't noticed, we like to have a lot of fun as well as talk about what's going on in the world.
Come hang with us today and every day at Clay and Buck. Download the iHeartRadio app, search out those names, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton, and come hang.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Tafari Campbell, he's a chef for the Obamas, age 45. He drowned at the Obama estate. And this is a headline. And I don't know what to make of all this yet, but breaking. Police call log for Tafari Campbell's drowning at Obama estate is left blank. Cops refuse to say who the second paddleboarder was. Okay. Look, I don't know. Let me just get this out here. I am not somebody who is going to go off every time somebody dies and start to wade down the rabbit hole and try to figure out, well, was he assassinated? Was he taken out? Was he dead? I'm not going to do that. But that's it. This is what happens when the powers that be, when the institutions have lied about everything over and over and over and over and over again. In fact, not just lying, when they've censored the truth. Remember this Mark Zuckerberg thing?
So misinformation, I think, has been a really tricky one, because there are things that are kind of obviously false, right, that are maybe factual, but may not be harmful. So it's like, all right, are you going to censor someone for just being wrong? It's, you know, if there's no kind of harm implication of what they're doing, I think that there's a bunch of real kind of issues and challenges there. But then I think that there are other places where it is, you just take some of the stuff around COVID earlier on in the pandemic, where, you know, real health implications, but there hadn't been time to fully vet a bunch of the scientific assumptions. And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the kind of establishment on that, you know, kind of waffled on a bunch of facts and, you know, asked for a bunch of things to be censored that in retrospect ended up being, you know, more debatable or true. And that stuff is really tough, right? And really undermines trust.
Undermines trust. Which brings me to my point. I have tried to explain this to the system, to the people who run the system, many times, because they don't get it. And in their defense, corrupt systems never really understand this until it's too late, that you can't just lie without ends to the people, or eventually there's so much institutional trust lost that they never believe anything you say about anything. Okay, some 45-year-old dude, Obama's chef, drowns. Probably nothing, right? Probably fell and hit his head or something. Maybe there, and I'm not trying to besmirch the man's name, but maybe he was drunk. Maybe there were drugs involved. Maybe there was a medical thing. That happens, right? You're in the water. People are swimming. They have a stroke or a heart attack or some kind of a... Look, you know, you never know. It's probably nothing. It's probably nothing. People drown all the time. But when you, the system, the media, the politicians, the various government agencies, entertainment, scientists, doctors, when every part of our society, when all of our institutions have been not only lying to us, actively suppressing accurate information about everything for so long, then you get to a place as a society when you see Obama's chef died and you immediately go to the, oh, wonder who took him out. And look, Chris thinks that. I'm telling you right now. And I sympathize. How can I argue with him? Yeah, okay, Chris thinks that. I say could be anything. Could be innocent. But what am I supposed to tell Chris to convince him otherwise? No, Chris, what are you talking about? He wasn't taken out. It said on the news that... And what's he going to say? Oh, the news? Okay. No, Chris, don't worry about it. The FBI looked into it and they cleared him. What's Chris going to say? Oh, okay. Well, if the FBI said so... You see, institutional trust is so critical for a society. That's a good point, Chris. The guy who let Jeffrey Epstein into Bill Clinton, who signed Jeffrey Epstein into Bill Clinton's White House several times, was found dangling from a tree with a shotgun wound in his chest, and they declared it a suicide, and they never found the shotgun. Come on. Come on now. So, yeah, this is what I find fascinating about figuring out where we're going as a country. This is one of the things I'm having trouble. I'm not having trouble. I just find it to be a fascinating thought experiment. Maybe you will too. Moving forward, what does it mean for a country when the trust is completely gone? What are the consequences of that? One thing I think about a lot, especially with all this Russia-Ukraine stuff and now the fighter jets and the Russian blockade, one of the things I think about a lot, and maybe that's just because I've been doing a bunch of World War I and World War II reading recently, is what if there's a World War III? How does that go in America if there's a World War III? If the government comes to you and says, we need this, how many people are going to believe that? How much trust have people lost in the military? in military leadership more specifically, because that used to be one of those things you could kind of take to the bank. Just get some general on TV with all his ribbons and medals and his fancy uniform, and automatically you, an American citizen, me, an American citizen, we see that guy and we're automatically assigning a certain level of respect. Wow, look at those ribbons and medals. Wow. Now, you have that? I don't have that. Nah, probably woke trash. Probably another diversity promotion. Nah, what's this idiot lying about now? What does it mean for something like a world war? When you take in the breadth of what the country did in World War II, not just, let's set the military aside, the private sector, the call to action for the entire nation. We need workers at the docks. We need workers in the factories. We need America to mobilize. We need you to buy war bonds. Buy war bonds so we can win the war. What happens when Joe Biden shows up and asks you to buy war
bonds? Anybody who honestly believes climate change is not a serious problem.
What happens? What happens when this guy's generals and admirals show up and say, we need young men to join the military and fight this fight now?
I'm honored to oversee the greatest fighting force, literally, not figuratively, in the history of the world, and that's not hyperbole. And I might add, the most diverse fighting force in the history of the world.
What happens when that guy stands in front of you? War has just kicked off with Russia and China. Gigantic nightmare. Taiwan's involved. Japan's involved. Navies. People die in missiles, fighter jets, bombs, bullets. What happens when that guy stands in front of America and tries to rally America for a cause again? I don't know exactly what that looks like, but I do know this, and I know this for a fact. It doesn't look like it looked when FDR got up and gave that speech after Pearl Harbor. It doesn't look like recruiting lines around the block. Did you know that young men in World War II committed suicide when they weren't allowed to join the military? That was a regular thing that happened. So anxious to serve, to fight for their country, that if they had a medical thing, you know, eyes, something wrong with your knees, spina bifida, something, and it's something, any one of the various things that can get you disqualified. There are, it's not like a one-off. There are many stories of young men watching all the young men around them go to war, killing themselves because they don't get to. Now, I don't know exactly what kind of country we have now, but I know you're not going to have loads of young men killing themselves because they can't go fight in Ukraine for Joe Biden. What does that look like going forward? Crazy to think about, right? All right. We have as many Ask Dr. Jesse questions as I can get to. First, we have to talk about your garbage cell phone service. Putting your money where your morals are can be very, very, very difficult. It can be. In some cases, it can be impossible. You can't find this, you can't find that. Good luck finding a non-woke car company. With the cell phone company, it's easy and there are no excuses. When you deal with Pure Talk, one, their CEO fought for this country. Two, American customer service. Three, your bill. My bill got cut in half. You'll save a fortune. And four, 10 minutes on the phone? All you have to do, you can keep your phone and keep your number or get a new phone, a new number if you want. But all it takes is 10 minutes talking to an American who speaks English on the phone, and you can stop funding garbage companies like Verizon or AT&T or T-Mobile. Pick up your phone. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. 10 minutes. That's nothing. Switch to Pure Talk. You pay your cell phone bill automatically every month anyway. #250. Say Jesse Kelly. That saves you even more. That saves you an additional 50% off your first month. #250. Say Jesse Kelly.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, final segment of the Jesse Kelly Show. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. Again, RFK Jr., not telling you to become a Republican. Why are you still a Democrat?
Every statement that you just made about me is inaccurate. At one point you say I'm anti-vax and that's a bad thing. The other thing, the other moment you point out that all my children are vaxxed. I took flu vaccines for 20 years straight. I have never been anti-vax. These are defamations and malignancies that are used to censor me, to prevent people from listening to the actual things that I'm saying. Trusting the experts is not a function of science. It's not a function of democracy. It's a function of religion and totalitarianism, and it does not make for a healthier population.
Why are you still a Democrat, brother? All right, it's time.
And now...
here's a headline.
By, go, you know the thing.
Emails!
We didn't get to.
Dear Jesse, what are your thoughts on artificial grass in front of the house? Would you ever consider it? I live in Oregon where there's plenty of water, but there's a trend in our neighborhood to install fake grass. I get the upside. The downside is it doesn't age well. It looks cheap. It's part of the slippery slope of the downfall of our society. You don't have to work as hard, so on and so forth. Okay. Full disclosure, I actually thought about it once because my buddy did it at his house. He put in artificial grass in his backyard. They were having a baby. They said it was easier to pick up dog poop, easier for the kid to run around out back, so on and so forth. And I actually briefly considered it. But I'm a believer in this, and this is the reason I'm really, really against it. I'm a believer that we were given things by God that were important for us, including natural things. I think grass is probably a good thing to have. It's good to have plants around you and grass around you, scrubbing your air. I would even argue this. The bugs and things that come, the bugs and toads and lizards and things like that that come with grass, it's healthy to live amongst those things instead of some kind of soulless artificial grass experience. That said, it does look low maintenance, but it's also expensive. Chris, have you ever priced it? It's crazy. You're never going to get artificial grass, Chris. I know that much. I know. He's right. Chris said it doesn't look as good as real grass. It doesn't. It doesn't. Maybe I'm just old-fashioned. I'm a real grass man. We all know Chris is a grass man. Oh, master for Oracle. How did the FBI manage to lose pipe bomber geofencing data for two separate locations at two separate times? In case you're wondering what he's talking about, remember, we now know that your cell phone... they know not only where it is, they know where it's been. They can find that out. They don't know who the pipe bomber is, they say, from January 6th. Somebody put a pipe bomb at the RNC and the DNC. They've never been able to track this man down. And mysteriously, the data for this is gone. Well, we all know what the deal is. It's not just gone. They destroyed it. People in authority destroyed that data. Now, you have to ask yourself that question, and you have to answer that question for yourself. Why would people who have the power to do so destroy or hide the information about who the pipe bomber was? It's really that simple. If I have the ability to delete convenience store video footage, and the local convenience store, we have a convenience store right up the road, it gets robbed. Somebody goes in there, they steal all the whatchamacallit candy bars and hot Cheetos. I, instead of grabbing that data, because I have access to that data, I go do it at a computer or wherever you nerds do it, and I beep, 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 oop, deleted the video. Why would I do that? What possible motivation would I have to do that other than protecting myself or somebody I know, somebody I'm acquainted with? Why would that be the only piece of data the FBI can't know? And in maybe an even crazier twist, video information was requested because it's Washington, D.C. Everything's on videotape, especially around Capitol Hill. If you ever go, there are just cameras everywhere. Everything's on videotape. They requested the information. Hey, give us the videotape so we can at least see videotape. Somebody had edited the videotape to reduce the quality of the videotape. So instead of having a clear videotape, I've seen it, actually. I mean, this is not me guessing. I've seen it. It's all grainy and weird. And it's very clearly at a lower quality than every other part of the video. The before, the after, the... So they don't have the cell data, and they made the videotape grainy. Why do you think that is? Oh, Oracle of Hamburgerness, I must know. Velveeta, yes or no? Dude, I'm white trash. We are white. We are Velveeta people here. We are Velveeta. Velveeta is the key ingredient in my smoked queso, baby. Jesse, do lefties ever go along with other lefties? Or do lefties even get along with other lefties? In my experience, there doesn't seem to be any camaraderie between them. If you put a bunch of them in the room, would they find a way to have fun? Well, no. They come together under the umbrella of bitterness because communism's the religion of the malcontent. That's why they're always miserable all the time. They're never laughing. They're never joking. They're never having fun because, look, they have a shared value: destruction, misery, bitterness. These are the values that bring them together. So if those are the values that bring you together, how much of a good time are you going to have? If me, Chris, and Michael hang out every day after work, but the only purpose of us hanging out after work is to complain about work. Work sucks. This job sucks. I hate it here. Boy, that's going to be a real barrel of laughs, huh? Well, would love to have a beer with you guys. Now, what was your least favorite part of the day? Now, these people are miserable. Take heart in this. No matter what. Look, let's do this going into the weekend. Take heart in this. You're happier than they are. And you're happier than they will ever be. So put a smile on your face. Keep your chin up. Put your phone down. Let's walk away from it all. And we will reconvene on Monday, all right? That's all.